Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stick around. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And, of course, we don't do any manipulation. We're not trying to con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not asking you to join anything. We're not asking you to give up anything. We're just asking you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify the Word of God for your life. And if I can do that, you're free to orient and adjust to the plan. That's always up to you. But at Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, we've been doing this show now 15-plus years, over 100 cities across America, every Sunday morning, and we are very honored and appreciate you giving us your time to listen to us today. Let me remind you of a couple of things, that all of our shows are indeed podcasted on the podcast venues like Apple iPod or Spotify, Breaker, Anchor. You can always go type in The Flatline, F-L-O-T, and find the show and listen anywhere, anytime, any day across the world. We have a lot of printed material that we've printed for you to make available for you. The latest one is Crash Course in Christianity. And this is so you can understand what God expects out of us, how we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a lot of transcript books where we've taken our 2019 shows, our 2020 shows, put them all in transcripts so you can read them yourself from a book one at a time if you'd like to have that. All of this is free upon request, along with other books as well that you can find on our website, rickhughesministries.org. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for tuning in and for being faithful. I love getting letters. I love hearing from you. We always have to decide what stations we're going to stay and maintain on. And if we're going to purchase time, we'd like to know we're being effective in that. So if you're listening somewhere, let us know that you're part of the program. We always appreciate that. We want to talk today about a subject that may be boring to some people, but to others it might be quite interesting. As we see things happening in the world today, sometimes we wonder if God even pays attention. You know, there was a big thing going on a few years ago about God is dead, and that was a joke. God is not dead. God is never dead. So if you think God is dead, you've lost your morals. But God's aware of what's going on in this country, and nobody's going to get away with anything. Sometimes we wonder why the Lord doesn't step in and stop some of this foolishness that we see going on. So we're going to talk today about the justice of God. God's justice. We'll start out a little bit in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, where Jeremiah wrote these words after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. under Nebuchadnezzar. But the Jews, unfortunately, were not in the mood to listen to Jeremiah, so they fled to Egypt. And probably where Jeremiah died in Egypt. But God's seeking those who know him. God's seeking those who understand him. And here's the key to this. He wants those who know him to understand his justice and his righteousness. Now we understand that God is love. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 4:8. God is love. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know God loves you, and I know God loves me. Isn't that wonderful? God has a sense of humor. He can love a jerk like us, but he loves us. There's no doubt about that. Even when we fail, he loves us, because it's called the unfailing love of God. So God says in Jeremiah, he wants us to understand his love, his justice, and his righteousness. And his love, you got to remember now, that God's love is not emotional like our love. We get turned on by certain things, but God is not manipulated by emotions. And we have to learn not to live by our emotions as well, because emotions always react to situations. And when you have the right kind of mentality, which is the mind of Christ, you can respond to situations with faith rest, with using personal and impersonal love for God, things like this that we teach on the Flatline. So God is love, but he's not emotional love like ours, since it's part of his unchangeable essence. Because God is sovereign and God is immutable, that's the key word, immutable, he doesn't change. He loves us as much today as he did 100 years ago and as he will in the future. But you have to recognize this, that justice is like a guard. Justice stands guard over God's righteousness, and I will explain that to you. But if you put in your mind that justice is a guard standing there watching over the righteousness of God, then you'll understand what Jeremiah writes here, because God knows everything. He sees everything, and no one's going to escape his justice. I repeat, no one will escape his justice. He sees everything. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And that's all God's looking for, is fidelity on your part, for you to be faithful, for you to be loyal. The question is, loyal and faithful about what? Well, number one, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ through your life as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as you become a mature believer, as you go through all the various tests, momentum testing that we face, and you come to the place where you glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum in your life. So listen now as I read to you what Jeremiah said about the justice of God. It's very important you understand this. Jeremiah 9:23-24. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise man boast in his wisdom, and don't let the strong man boast of his strength, and don't let the rich man boast of his riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, and I exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. It's in these things that I delight, declares the Lord. Do you hear that? If you want to brag about something, don't brag about how much money you have. Don't brag about how much you can bench press or how strong you can curl some weights. Don't brag about how smart you are. Brag about you understand God. What do you need to understand? You need to understand his loving kindness. You need to understand his justice, and you need to understand his righteousness to those that are on this earth. Because he said here, these are the things I delight in, declares the Lord. My former pastor, before he went to be with the Lord, R.B. Thiem Jr., said these words, "The justice of God is the guardian of the righteousness of God. And what the righteousness of God rejects or says no to, then the justice of God judges." You have to remember that. So if you think you're going to go to heaven because you're good and you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't cuss and you don't dance and you don't do whatever, the righteousness of God will not be impressed, because there's none that are righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And if the righteousness of God is not impressed, then the justice of God will judge you. So here's an important principle to remember. It is impossible for God's justice to make a mistake. He can't do it. He's omniscient, big words now, omniscient, he's all-knowing. Omnipotent means he's all-powerful, and omnipresent means he's always present. That means that God can be in the Ukraine and God can be in America at the same time. And I'm sure a lot of people are praying in those two countries right now. He has the power to change anything, and he's smart enough to know what took place in eternity past. He's omniscient, and God knows what's going to take place in eternity future. He wrote it in the Bible for us. We just don't believe it. We kind of come to our own conclusion about what's going to happen in the future. Oh, the earth's going to be destroyed by green gas, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You will never destroy this earth. Only God can do that. He told us in the Bible how it'll end. And he's in charge. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. He does not make a mistake. So here, listen carefully. I believe that this country, the United States of America, is under judgment from the justice of God. I think you probably would agree with me. I think as a whole, not everybody, but as a whole, this client nation, a.k.a. the United States of America, has rejected God's righteous standards. And we have allowed sin and evil to be normal and an accepted practice in our land. We, by George, we actually sanction and we actually endorse certain sinful practices instead of standing firm against them and saying no. It appears that we allow in this country sin to flourish. And we don't think for one minute God is, don't you think for one minute God is overlooking this? He's not overlooking our immorality. He's not overlooking our deviant behavior. And the justice of God will judge us for what we do as a whole, as a client nation. Now, why? Why are we going to face national discipline? If I go to quote an Old Testament passage where God gives Ezekiel the reason for judgment on that nation, the nation that fell upon Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Israel, who would later be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, listen what the reason for judgment was and see if it sounds familiar to you. Here's why God judged that nation, Ezekiel 33:31. They come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show a lot of love, but with their heart they pursue their own gain. Hypocrites, what we talked about recently in one of our studies. Two-sided individuals. You go to church and you sit there all pious looking, all holy looking. Got on your best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and you're trying to smile, but you got your cell phone in your pocket waiting on some kind of text or checking out something on the social media graph. You hear the words of the pastor, but you don't do them. You don't apply them. You didn't even write them down. How can you remember what he said? You might remember 1 or 2% of what he taught you, but you were just too busy wondering what time lunch is going to be served. With your mouth, you sing, oh, I love the Lord. Yes, yes, I love the Lord. But your heart says something else. You go after what you want to go after. So listen again. This is a condemnation of our nation today and in most of our local churches. They come, they sit, they listen, but they don't obey. It's the same pattern in Christianity today. Come to church, hear what the preacher says, leave and forget it. Divine justice will not tolerate that. Divine justice will judge us because of that. We've had every opportunity to glorify God to the maximum, and the more prosperity we get, the deeper we slide into sin and degradation. This pattern in Christianity today is a bad pattern. People are going to be judged. This nation is going to be judged. Divine justice is going to be administered on this nation by means of the essence of God, His sovereignty, His righteousness, His justice, and His love. Does He love us? Yes. Does He forgive us in Christ Jesus? Yes. Can He forgive you as a Christian when you commit personal sin? Yes. If you rebound, if you do exactly what the Bible says, confess your sin to God, He'll be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's how we stay in fellowship with God on a daily basis. That doesn't have anything to do with our relationship. Our relationship never changes when we're in Christ Jesus. We're in the royal family of God. You don't lose the relationship, but you can break fellowship by sinning and not confessing the sin or not rebounding the sin. So ultimately, any blessing, any discipline, any cursing to God has to come through His justice because it guards the righteousness of God. And so as goes God's justice, so goes God's blessing. He approves, or God's cursing, He disapproves. And I'm sure many pastors today would agree with exactly what I'm talking about here in this Old Testament lesson. They would agree that there's a lot of negative volition. They would agree that many believers are playing games with God. And we have a term for this. We call it the nod to God crowd. Hello, God. Good to see you this Sunday morning, God. See you next Sunday morning, God. Nod to God crowd. That doesn't cut it. That's not the spiritual life. You may be saved. You may be going to heaven. You may have eternal life guaranteed to you because of the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. But this is not going to deliver your life and your nation in times of judgment. The nod to God crowd doesn't cut it. We need people like you, individuals who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and become effective representers of Christ to the community, to your friends, to the world, so that when people see you, they see Christ. So again, as goes God's justice, so goes either He blesses us or He curses us. So it's up to Him. But the Bible does tell us these words in Luke 12:48, for unto whom much is given, much will be expected. I don't know about you, but I think God might have given America a lot. He might have blessed us in many wonderful ways, more than we deserve. The prosperity that we've enjoyed over the past couple of centuries is phenomenal. We've been through hard times, yes. But if you look at the rest of the world and look at what we have, we've been blessed out of our boots. And what have we done with it? We've turned our back on Him. We've kicked Him out of the public arena. Oh, no, we can't have the nativity scene at the courthouse. That violates somebody's rights. Oh, no, you can't go into school and mention God. That's violating somebody's rights. We are crazy. The very God that's blessed us, the very God that sustained us, the very God that holds the future for us, we've ignored him. And in our own arrogance, consumed that we know better than he knows. As a client nation for God, that's us, in our generation, me and you, we've received a lot of blessings. We've received deliverance in some great world wars that we faced. However, you know this as well as I know this, we've begun to fracture internally. There appears that there's a great divide in America today, great divide. If you look at it like a jigsaw puzzle, you can see how we're fractured. We're fractured into various groups, various sects. You know, it can be a fracturing from racial prejudice. It can be a fracturing from political prejudice. It's a lot of different things that I can get into. I don't want to go into those illustrations, but there is a divide in America, and you can see it. And I can tell you what it's caused by. I can tell you that. It is created by neglect of God's design. Neglect of God's design, and as well as neglect or failure to submit to what the world, to what God teaches about divine viewpoint thinking. So this divide is created by neglect of God's design, and then you or me or someone else submitting to human viewpoint thinking. Remember the difference between human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is the mind of Christ. It's what the Bible says. Human viewpoint is what some political activist would say, or what some sports writer would say, or some social pontificator might say. Human viewpoint thinking, if I want to get my marriage right, what should I do? And here's what old dear so-and-so says. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about your life? What does the Bible say about sin? Human viewpoint thinking justifies sin. Human viewpoint thinking says you're evil and you're mean if you don't like these people for what they do. You're cruel, and that's not true. As believers, we love people, but we hate the sin. So evil runs rampant across America today, especially in religion, especially in the family, and especially in politics. It's everywhere. Judges wrote about it in the last verse of Judges chapter 21:25, where it says, In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was right in his own eyes. That's America today. No one wants to submit to the laws of establishment, freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. Listen, even if a person is not a believer, if they live by those four concepts, freedom, God designed you to be free, not enslaved. Marriage, God designed marriage for a right man and a right woman, not man and man, woman and woman, right man, right woman. And family, God sets up the family to teach authority orientation, to evangelize the children. I mean, this is what the family is all about, and God ordains a family. And then nationalism, not internationalism, not the Tower of Babel, where all the worlds come together to one religion, one thought. Internationalism is wrong. Nationalism is God ordaining one nation, and he put the Chinese over here, the Japanese over here, the Americans over here, the Indians over here, the Germans over there. Nationalism is one nation. God gives different languages, different locations. So we neglect all of that, and we do what's right in our own eyes. We do what we want to do. We justify with our arrogance why what I'm doing is right. I know the Bible says it's wrong, people say. I know the Bible says I shouldn't do that, but I don't believe the Bible, they say. They say this is right because I'm not hurting anybody. Well, that's not true. Whenever a client nation such as us, whenever we reject or they reject the righteous standards of God and begin to adopt and support satanic evil thinking, then national discipline from the justice of God is absolutely 100% sure to follow. You must understand the justice of God will not sit by and let us self-destruct. God will discipline us for the purpose of waking us up. God will discipline your family for the purpose of waking you up. He will discipline you for the purpose of pulling you out of your hell-bent sin and self-destructive trend. Because that's what arrogance does. Arrogance is self-deception, self-absorption, self-destruction. And if you don't wake up, you will destroy your life because you have the ability to make decisions every day, and sooner or later, bad decisions are going to limit your future options. So if you reject the righteous standards of God's Word, if you begin to adopt and support satanic evil thinking, then you are going to be guaranteed the justice of God will judge you if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, well, I can tell you where the justice of God judges you, at the great white throne of judgment. There you will be cast into the lake of fire. Not because God's mad at you, not because God doesn't like you, but because you rejected God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now, why would God judge a nation? Because of all these bad things I'm talking about? Well, partially, but here's the real truth about it. Listen to Hosea 4:6. This is the condemnation on Israel. My people are destroyed, that's judgment, for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Didn't say anything about the sins they committed. The lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children. What did that passage say that God is looking for? He's looking for those who understand Him and know Him, that He is the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. That's the knowledge that you're rejecting. That's the knowledge we don't want in America today. We don't want to know God. Why? Because He's going to tell us that's not right. You can't do that. You're killing yourself. You're destroying your nation. And we are determined to wipe out and destroy this nation. And it all comes from satanic thought, satanic opposition. We're a client nation. We send out missionaries to the world. We're a client nation. We're a haven for the Jews. We're a client nation. We're the guardian of the Word of God and reteach the Word of God. You think Satan likes that? You think Satan wants that to go on? No. And so Hosea said, warned the Israelites, my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God's loving kindness, knowledge of God's justice, and knowledge of God's righteousness. Whatever the justice of God judges, it's because the righteousness of God rejects it. And if someone goes to hell and winds up in the lake of fire, it's not because God's mad at them, it's because they rejected the righteousness of Christ, and they tried to establish their own righteousness. And since that didn't work, the justice of God has to judge them. So either, you got to get this right, either you're going to adjust to the standards of God's justice, or you're going to force the justice of God to adjust to you. It's your choice. Either you adjust to God's justice or God's justice will adjust to you. You have to adjust to the justice of God in salvation. That's true. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, our sins were poured out on Him and judged by the justice of God on His own Son. Listen to 1 Peter 2:24, who Himself bore our sin in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, that's the righteousness of God, by whose stripes you are healed. Christ was judged by the justice of God and took your place so that you can have the righteousness of God. Where did I get that? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God by means of Him. So our righteousness is provided by means of God's judgment on His only anointed Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you try to earn God's favor by equaling His perfect righteousness, you're going to die in your trespasses and sins, because no one can produce perfect righteousness with the exception of only the Lamb of God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all we like sheep, we're all an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You cannot manufacture your own righteousness. If you try, you will force the justice of God to judge you. Now, also, when you use problem-solving device number one, which we call rebound, 1 John 1:9, then we are using God's provision provided by His justice for our cleansing. But if you try to make up your sin to God in your own power, If you try to promise God you're never going to do it again, you're going to only offend his righteous standards. You can't do that. The only way you can be forgiven is to use rebound in time. And that's provided by God's justice through Christ, so you can reinstate the filling of the Holy Spirit and escape the control of your flesh if you do what the Bible says, 1 John 1:9. If you don't, then you're going to go into subsequent carnality. The righteous standard of God is equally offended when we seek to live the Christian life under a system of religion. And if that's your lifestyle, the justice of God will kick out all of your good works at the judgment seat of Christ. Not going to work. The Supreme Court of Heaven tells us that. It won't work. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16. All of your good deeds, if they're done in the energy of the flesh, will be kicked out. There is a Supreme Court in Heaven, so relax. We don't vote on who's going to be on that court. God does it himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. It's the last court of appeals in history, as well as the court of personal justice for individual believers. It's a court which administers both personal and collective justice. And this court, the Supreme Court of Heaven, has the highest jurisdiction ever and overrules anything that Satan tries to do as an authority and the ruler of this own world. Satan himself is subject to this court. You may face this court. You will if you're a believer. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're an unbeliever, it's the great white throne of judgment. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. We always say that. If you have an iniquity and an injustice that you've been treated to, go to the Supreme Court of Heaven, lay it at the feet of God, and step back and let God's justice handle it. He knows what's going on. And he will deal with it. Maybe not in your time, maybe not when you want it dealt with, but it will be dealt with. Does this make sense? I sure hope so. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to give you an invitation to stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And we don't manipulate people. We're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to sell you anything. No latest book we've written to sell you. We certainly have books, but we give them away. We don't sell them. And we would like for you to have some very good information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you're interested and if you want to orient and adjust to the plan, well, that's up to you. So I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll stick around. I hope you'll stay with me. We always podcast our radio shows as well. If you're familiar with podcast venues, you can go to the Apple iPod, you can go to Spotify, anything like that, and search for The Flatline, F-L-O-T, Flatline. That stands for the Forward Line of Troops, a military analogy. And if you find it, you can listen to The Flatline anywhere, anytime, any day, anywhere in the world by going to the podcast venue. We have about 800 radio shows podcasted there, and we also had transcriptions there. All available for you. Transcriptions of this rare radio show will be available. If you'd like to have a transcription, let us know. We'll always be free to mail it to you, and you can read what we said in the transcript. Okay, I guess we've talked about all of that. We've told you about all of our books, all of our bookmarkers. We have a lot of bookmarkers available for you to stick in your Bible that'll help you, things to remember about God's plan for your life. So please take advantage of what we offer. It's always there for you. I want to give you an illustration today about what's going on in our country. I try to stay out of politics most of the time, and this is not political. But many, many, many years ago when I was a young man, I remember hearing a song called Tumbling Tumbleweeds. I bet you remember that song, Tumbling Tumbleweeds. Although one of the most famous songs associated with the Sons of the Pioneers who sang it, it was originally composed by Bob Nolan in the 30s. While working as a caddy and living in Los Angeles. It was originally titled Tumbling Leaves. but it was reworked into the title Tumbling Tumbleweeds and into fame in 1935 with Gene Autry film with the same name. It was at one time, and still is, members of the Western Writers of America chose it as one of the top 100 Western songs of all times. See them tumbling along, tumbling tumbleweeds. Well, the Bible talks about tumbleweeds. Did you know that? In Jeremiah 17:6, Jeremiah spoke to the people of Israel, and the Bible translates this passage. I'm going to use a translation called The Message today. There are a lot of different translations. The King James Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, the NIT Version. But here is called The Message, and it's a simplified version. It helps you to understand it. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans. The person who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as dead weight. He is like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth, and he lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. He's a tumbleweed. The King James translation of the word shrub is where we get the word tumbleweed. It's actually a Hebrew word, A-R-O-E-R, pronounced Edar. It means a bush with no roots. Tumbleweeds have no roots. They are blown along by any wind that comes. And they're very vulnerable to that. They blow everywhere because they don't have any place to root. But I want to talk to you about the American tumbleweed. The American tumbleweed. The American tumbleweed is blown about by winds of promise from politicians who are seeking power, making promises of happiness if they get elected. And a lot of people are blown in that direction. Because American tumbleweeds pay no attention to God's warning in Jeremiah 17:5. Here is a King James translation of that verse. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes man his strength, flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. This verse I just read to you is a direct reflection of the political hope of many Americans today, looking for some politician who can legislate their problems away and make them happy. Someone who would get rid of their student loans, guarantee them a monthly income, make sure they get rid of fossil fuels like gas and oil. Someone who will legislate equality of sexes and races. In other words, people are looking for a flawed individual who is repackaged as a wonderful leader and a problem solver, but underneath the glimmer and the glory is the false image of still an individual with a sin nature, be it a man or a woman. Ironically, the Bible speaks of the Antichrist of the tribulation much in the same way. He's the same sort of individual, a great problem solver, a politician, bringing countries of the world together, but underneath, he's a man possessed by Satan and who will eventually demand to be worshipped. Looking for happiness in a political leader to bring change is false hope. Jeremiah says it's false hope, and it's false hope lived in a life in a parched place. It's what he says. In other words, the individual will not ever see happiness, since they've turned away from the Lord and are looking for some man to deliver them. And they are like tumbleweeds blown around by every wind of doctrine that comes. We'll talk about that later. But life will not offer any refreshment for these individuals, only suffering and death, when you look for happiness in a lie. It's not there. The volitional decision the individual makes, the American tumbleweed makes, to abandon God's plan, to set a course based on flawed leadership, is nothing short of disastrous. With no roots to hold them down firm, they blow with every wind that blows. People in America today, you know, I know, they're restless. They want change, but human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. Again, human solutions are no solutions. They only cause for more frustration, more pain. Only if you have a solid, sound spiritual life based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can you have what you're seeking. Listen to what Jeremiah says about that. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree, not a tumbleweed. He will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. And its leaves will always be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because it's planted by the water. The living water of the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Spiritual death is the condition of the disadvantaged person who rejects God's uniquely born Son. And spiritual birth is what happens when you put your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and receive Him as your Savior. John 3:36 talks about it. It says this, "He who believes in the Son will have everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." In John 6:47, "Most assuredly, I say to you," Jesus said, "he who believes in me has everlasting life." These two verses echo what Jeremiah 17:7 said. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is the Lord." That's the first step for you to have the right kind of life. It's the first step for you to be like a tree planted by the water. Not a tumbleweed, but a firm foundation near a source of refreshment. This verse guarantees you happiness if you trust God's plan. And those two key words are trust and hope. Again, Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." That's what happens when you get saved. You put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. "And whose hope," and that's the word confidence, "is in the Lord." That means that you depend on the Lord for your provisions of everyday life. You don't have to sweat anything. You don't have to worry about anything. You develop a flat line in your soul, and you move through life with great happiness. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ said this in Luke 11:27 and 28, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." God's plan for you is based on a personal relationship with Him. And that only starts when you receive Christ as your Savior, because there's no other way you can reach God other than through His anointed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In John 6:28 and 29, "Then they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" In verse 29, John 6, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom He has sent." In John 6:40, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's what being saved is, to become a believer. You've been an unbeliever, now you become a believer. What are you supposed to believe? Believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Did He die for you? Yes. Did He pay for your sin? Yes. Was He buried? Yes. Was He resurrected? Yes. Do you believe that? Can you claim that as your salvation? Can you come to the Father and say, "Heavenly Father, I know that I cannot save myself. And so I'm here today to commit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing He paid for my sin." If you can pray a prayer, something like that, simple prayer, your own words, that's not important, the words, but what's important is what you're saying, what you're communicating to God, because the Bible says, "Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can express your faith to God in prayer by simply saying, "I believe Jesus Christ is your anointed Son, and I am willing to receive Him." To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. What an amazing thing to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive Him as your Savior. That's what Jesus said. "This is the will of the one that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life." Paul told the Roman jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You've heard John 3:16, "God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the verb pistuo from the noun pistis, or faith. Believe is faith. Put your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. If your hope for a better life and happiness is in some man or some government official, you're going to be greatly disappointed, because no politician, be it a Republican or a Democrat, can solve any problem of the tumbling tumbleweeds in America today. There's no magic genie going to pop out of the bottle and grant you your wish. So we have restlessness in America today. We have division. We have greed. We have jealousy. We have bitterness. Who can calm all of that down? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see we're fractured as a nation, and we're doomed to defeat if we don't turn to our true protector and our true provider. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this: be anxious for nothing. What a great thing to believe in. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, go to God with your requests, let Him know, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. What a promise. Here's an Old Testament promise in the book of Nahum, one of the minor prophets: the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of troubles, and He knows those who trust Him. We certainly have a day of trouble in our nation today. Do you trust God? Are you anxious? Are you full of anxiety? Do you have stress in your life because you don't have those problem-solving devices we talk about? You've heard me tell you that adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional, because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. So America is full of tumbleweeds being blown around by every promise of a politician, hoping to have their problems solved. Not going to happen. But what about Christian tumbleweeds? Christian tumbleweeds. That's a little bit of a different story. See, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, remember this. When you go to church to get a little fix, you know, to get your shot of God, with a one dose of inspiration and then head down the road doing your own thing, it's not going to work. If you wish to really please God and have an impact on your nation's history, it's going to take more than you just playing nod to God. First, you absolutely must get under the ministry of a teaching pastor who studies and communicates the Word of God more than 30 minutes a week. Not a cruise ship director, not someone makes sure the Christian community, everybody has some place to go and something to do, but a man who studies and teaches the Word of God consistently. Second, you have to learn the protocol plan of God, starting with those unique 10 problem-solving devices that make up the flot line in your soul. And these are nothing new. These are age-old biblical doctrines. 10 problem-solving devices. What are they? Well, we solve the problem of sin when we rebound, when we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing. That leads to problem-solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's where we solve the problem of our genetically formed sin nature that wants to control our life, because the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh. And then problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill, where we stand on the 7,000 promises of God and put our confidence and trust in Him, and He will deliver. Remember what He told Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't worry, I'll be with you. And then grace orientation, what a wonderful problem-solving device. You're saved by grace. We know that because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. And there's doctrinal orientation. That's you going to the Word of God, learning the mind of Christ, getting divine viewpoint, living your life in that vein. This gives you the personal sense of destiny, why God got you here, what God wants you to do, what your spiritual gift is, and where your eternal status will be. This is all motivated by your personal love for God, a great virtue in your life. John, 1 John 5:3 said, if you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not hard. Personal love for God comes reciprocally, where it says, we love Him because He first loved us. God loved you way before you ever loved Him, and I don't even know if you love. How can you love a God you don't even know? But then there's impersonal love, a great problem-solving device. It gives me the ability to love even the worst person in the world. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ used on the cross. He died for me, and I was a jerk. He died for you. He died for everyone. All of us jerks. With impersonal love, he loved us. God so loved the world. He didn't love us with personal love based on his character. Our character. He loved us with impersonal love based on his character. And then it takes us to sharing the happiness of God, plus H. Jesus told those disciples in John 15:11, I've told you these things so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. And there we come up to occupation with Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ in me, the hope of glory Paul talks about. Those 10 problem-solving devices have to be learned because, in essence, that is the Christian life. That's how it works, and that makes up the flat line in your soul. So first, you got to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. Second, learn the protocol plan of God, starting with those 10 problem-solving devices. Build that flat line in your soul. And third, you must be consistent in your studies. You must be faithful in the application of what you learn. You cannot afford to be a Christian tumbleweed. What is that? Ephesians 4:13. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's the tumbleweed right there. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The Christian tumbleweed is tricked into believing the lie by a deceitful, crafty person who makes it sound like God endorsed him. Oh, the Lord told me to write this book. You need to buy my book. Buy my book. Oh, I'm just trying to cover my costs, they'll tell you. I'm telling you what. There are canine clergy roaming all around this country. Canine clergy. What's a canine clergy? Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The ravenous wolves are the canine clergy roaming about who would love to capture you by your emotions. And they will seek to lure you away from any solid, sound, consistent Bible teaching by using gimmicks to hook you, especially if you've got children. Oh, the children, the poor children. That's why the Jews wouldn't go in the promised land to start with. The giants in there. Oh, what would they do to our children? And so many believers get sucked into this by saying, oh, well, we need a nice, wonderful place where our children can have fun in church. The church is not there to babysit. It's there to train and teach the Word of God. That's just one thing. There's so much going on. It's almost unbelievable, the things that are happening today. Beware of the canine clergy. They will take you and seduce you into their way of thinking, and you will be off base down the road called the My Way Highway. Bible doctrine, the Word of God, must be taught in a client nation if we're going to survive. It has to be taught. Why? Because Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off all restraint. But happy is the one who keeps the law. That's what's happened in America today. We've cast off restraint. The modified expanded translation of that verse I just quoted to you in Proverbs 29:18 is this. Where there's no communication of divine revelation, the people lack restraint. In other words, they're always searching for something like tumbleweeds. But he who is rooted in the teaching of the Word is very happy. You see, the power of Christianity is not in politics. It's not even visible, but rather the spiritual, invisible life. Your influence as an invisible hero is the only way this nation can ever survive. It's the only way there could ever be any blessing to its citizens. You are the true hope for America, not the politician. You, your spiritual life. And any Christian who's unaware of what the Bible teaches often winds up going down the wrong road, becoming some sort of activist. You know, they want to clean up the devil's world and right all the wrongs and destroy anybody that don't agree with them, that doesn't agree with them. It's obvious to me America's under divine discipline. It should be to you, too. Although many citizens don't see it that way. But our internal peace is gone. Our international peace is gone. Spiraling food prices, spiraling fuel prices threaten our security and our families. Well, what can you do about it? I can tell you what you can do about it. First, get your personal spiritual life in order. Learn how to get in fellowship with God and how to stay in fellowship with God using Rebound. Understand the filling of the Holy Spirit and what it does for you. Find a well-qualified pastor teacher who can teach you the Word of God and listen, learn, and glorify God on a daily basis. We often call that LAG, L-A-G, learn, apply, and glorify God. These sort of decisions will equip you to be part of the pivot, the core group of mature believers who can have an invisible and a historical impact on the future of this nation. But if you neglect your spiritual life, as you have been doing in the past, if you neglect your spiritual life, you can kiss it goodbye, because your children and your grandchildren will pay the price for your failure. Hosea 4:6 is very plain about this, very clear about this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Because you ignored the laws of your God, I will ignore your children. Now, if you have children or grandchildren, this should be a warning to you. Your grandchildren and your children will pay the price for your failure to grow spiritually. They will pay the price for your lack of knowledge. What does it mean, lack of knowledge? It means this, that God has a plan. Listen, we're not playing street ball here. We're not making the rules up as we go along. God laid down the plan a long time ago. That's why it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can you be ashamed when you get to heaven? Yes. Why? Because you never learned the plan. You never did it the right thing in the right way. And in 1 Corinthians 3:11-16, you'll see all the wood, hay, and stubble burned up. All the good things you did the wrong way, not filled with the Holy Spirit. From the energy of the flesh, make a nice big bonfire in eternity, not rewardable, and not hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't want to learn. You didn't have time to learn. I don't have time to sit down and listen to a pastor. I just need a 10-minute devotion every day, you might say to yourself. I just need some Christian music, and I'll be okay. No, you won't. That's not how you grow. This verse says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You rejected knowledge. You were not willing to invest in learning God's word. That's the question. Are you willing to invest in learning God's word? It's going to take time and effort. It may even take some finances for you to purchase the right kind of material to do it with, a computer or a DVD player, an MP3 player. But are you willing to invest in your spiritual life? So you don't have to hear this, because God said, when you reject knowledge, I will reject your children. This means you're guaranteeing that your children will have no future in America. But why? Oh, well, you say, I voted for the right man. I believe in the right purposes and principle. Well, yeah, we all do. Divine institutions are wonderful, and God designed them that way. Do you even know what they are? Do you understand divine institutions, establishment principles taught in the Bible? Freedom, marriage, family, nationalism, do you know what that is? See, that requires knowledge to understand God's plan, because so many people get easily suckered into going the wrong way and suckered into spending all their money buying books that don't tell you anything. I hope you're listening to me today. I'm trying to be as firm and as hard and as tough as I can be. I'm watching my country go down. I'm watching Christians that are not interested in growing spiritually, that are easily distracted from prosperity. You know, I mean, God's blessed you. You got a lot of wonderful things. You're really enjoying life, aren't you? Count all your blessings while you got them. They're not going to be here long. You keep going down the my way highway, I assure you. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.